I invite you to please rise out of reverence for Christ and in a rehearsal of the resurrection. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, sometime in the next week, I'm supposed to say on May 10th and May 10th alone, next Monday, I'll become a father for the fourth time. It's going to be busy this week, getting ready for that. My first job as a father next week will be to cut the umbilical cord. The next 10,000 jobs as a father will be to work with Andrea and our family to take on the role and function of that umbilical cord. To provide nourishment and connection and loving presence and guidance, and as the child grows and becomes mobile, to make sure that umbilical cord doesn't stretch too far so that the child puts themselves in danger. This will be quite the long process. And of course, as kids grow older, and as our oldest is now halfway to 18, begin to think about how this invisible umbilical cord stretches and strains as we begin to negotiate independence and dependence, and God willing, by the time he graduates and or moves out, there is a sense of fruitful interdependence. Not on his own, and not dependent on us, but understanding how life depends on life. Before Jim Carrey was a movie star, he was on a TV show called In Living Color. It's where he first kind of displayed his physical comedy and all his antics. And there's one quite enduring skit, which is not fit for a sermon, but the gist of it is this. He plays a man named Umbilical Barry. And Umbilical Barry is a grown man, but he's with his mother, and she's kind of this stereotypical New York Jewish mother. And she and he are attached by the umbilical cord, even though he's 20 years old. So they get on the subway train, and there's all these skits about what happens to this cord between them. And every joke has to do, of course, with Umbilical Barry trying to stand out on his own, to get away from his overbearing mother, who's always there. And she's trying to love him and show him that nobody can love him like she does. And eventually he just cries out in frustration, Mom, I'm in my 74th trimester! Well, at the end of one of the skits, it cuts to him back inside of the womb. He's on the phone calling a friend. He's saying, he's in this womb curled up, and he's saying, yeah, my mom grounded me. I'm stuck in here until I can be a better boy. It's quite a hilarious skit, though it's a little bit racy, but the gist of it is quite clear, I think, right? The point of having babies is that they would grow and branch out and become fruitful and eventually learn to stand and walk on their own two feet. You have to leave the mother, so to speak, in order to grow. But of course you can't grow unless you have the ongoing love and support of family and friends and of God's faithfulness. But the goal, of course, is to internalize all this umbilical love and support inside the child's heart and sense of self so that they can spread their wings. Because of course, as we say, how do you know if you can fly unless you let them spread their wings? Well now, Here comes Christ Jesus with the absolutely worst news that any adolescent, or modern American for that matter, could ever hear. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. He goes on to say, apart from me, you can do nothing. This news is death to modern man. This news, this claim, respects no boundaries. It leaves us no space. It brooks no secondary identities. And it doesn't heed our own plans for the future. Jesus is worse than an umbilical Barry's mother. And then it gets still worse. Not only can we do nothing apart from this Jesus, but as we sit there doing nothing, his father grabs his pruning shears and gets to work cutting absolutely every branch, either cutting off or cutting clean. It's cutting either way. And the father must do this because no branch has ever truly pruned itself. We act like we're pruned. We say, no, look, I know I'm branching in this strange direction, but look, I'm growing. I'm getting green and I'm going anywhere. Or we say, well, it looks like I'm a dead branch, but look at this little bud over here. Just hang on, give me more time. Life is coming. I know what I'm doing. And then meanwhile, just the shears are just swish, swish, swish. The Father's pruning hand, cutting off and cutting clean. One of my teachers puts it like this in a book on John. He says, pruning or cleansing is God's corrective judgment on sin, rather than a final condemnation. Rather than ending a person's relationship with Jesus, the action is designed to strengthen the relationship by addressing the unbelief that would separate people from God. The promise of love is the basis of the relationship, while the act of pruning is aimed at the sin that impedes the relationship. Together, he writes, the vine's gift of love and the vine dresser's pruning back of the sin that interferes with love enable the branches to bear the fruit of love in relationships with other people. And it's important to note the location of all this pruning. It's all happening in Christ. Jesus says every branch in me is to be pruned one way or the other. And who is Christ in whom we find ourselves? He is the true vine. What does this mean? Well, throughout the Old Testament scriptures, Israel is the vine or the vineyard, particularly Isaiah chapter 5, when God sings of his beloved vineyard. Well, now comes Jesus, Israel reduced down to one faithful man. And he is now the true vine who will be for Israel what Israel could not be for itself. This true vine was obedient unto death for the sake of love. Just before this chapter, Jesus, at the Last Supper, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He washed their feet, and he began to speak of the gift of the Holy Spirit he would give, and then he speaks of himself here as the true vine. And the promise is, I'm the true vine, abide in me. Abide in me, which simply means, don't go anywhere. Stay here. You are growing in me, and my Father will prune whatever is getting in the way of that growth. Stay, abide, remain. It is Jesus, the true vine, who was cut off from the face of the earth, dying on a cross, bearing our dead branches on his own body. It was Jesus Christ, the true vine, who was thrown to the hellfire to be burnt up. And it was the same Jesus Christ who on the third day, the Father, the vine dresser, raised up to new life. Even as that hymn sings, now the green blade riseth from the buried grain. Wheat that in dark earth many days has lain. Love lives again that with the dead has been. Love is come again like wheat that springeth green. It's a beautiful song. You just have to substitute wheat for vines. But the pruning that occurs, again, is in Christ. It's in the one who has already died and been raised for you. And he gives us this promise in the middle of discussing his Father's pruning work, which immediately sends shivers up the spine of anyone with ears. In the midst of this, he reminds his disciples, verse 3, you have already been made clean by my word, which I have spoken to you. It is in Christ that these branches who have already been made clean by the word of Christ, it's in this context that the Father prunes and cuts back and cuts off that there might be fruitfulness. Now we're prepared to think a little bit about our day and age, to think about what kind of pruning is going on during a pandemic. There's at least one pandemic, and many have suggested there's 3 or 4 or 5 global or societal pandemics going on. And rather than ask how or why or what's next, we might pray, Father, what are you pruning in me? And what are you pruning back in us as a congregation for the sake of life, for the sake of fruitfulness? What are you cutting off that we thought was life and it wasn't? What are you cutting back that we were tired of growing and yet it will come back all the more fruitful in your wisdom? This question connects with what you'll read or have heard in Pastor Steve's Evangel article this month, and a question that we'll put before you in the weeks to come. The question is, what about church life have you missed over the past year? And not just worship life, but all of church life. And what about church life in the past year? Maybe you thought you'd miss, but you kind of don't miss that part of church life. So we ask that question about simply our life together as Bethesda, and then we also add to it this sense of the Father's pruning work and say, what is the Lord doing in us today and this year and in the years to come? Because the pruning is in Christ, and the pruning is for the sake of our fruitfulness, for the sake of the world. How is the Father pruning us? And will we abide in this work? Martin Luther points out really helpfully that it is not our suffering, it's not our endurance over this year or any other that cleanses us. It's the word Jesus speaks to us that has already cleansed us. And it's a word that he continues to speak to us so that we might be renewed in our faith in that cleansing word. We've already been made clean by the word. It's not our suffering that it is some strange calculus that makes us better people, even if we do learn lessons along the way. But we are in Christ, and we can have boldness in the midst of pruning, and we can have humility in the midst of cutting off and cutting back, and we can have hope when these things seem to be happening even out of our own hands and control, because we are in Christ, and he is the true vine. We abide in Jesus' productive word and the Father's pruning work. In all circumstances, we are in the love of the Father and bear the fruitfulness of the Holy Spirit. In the world, we must be weaned. My fourth son's going to have to be weaned like all the rest, and eventually we'll have to start kicking him out of our house. In the world, we must be weaned. And fruitfulness or success in life seems to be some strange mixture of hard work, support, privilege, and dumb luck. In the world, we have to be weaned. But in the word of Christ, we are enwombed. Not grounded, but enwombed in the pregnant love and life of God. We make our home in this cleansing word and in this comforting love. We trust in our Father who will not abide sin in us or anything that impedes fruitfulness and life. This is the same Lord who cut a covenant with Israel, his beloved vineyard, who was faithful to his promises to his vineyard and gave his own beloved son the true vine. And for Christ's sake, God will not cut off his promise nor his faithfulness to you. He will not cut that umbilical cord that binds us to eternal life in Christ Jesus. He is the God of whom the prophet Hosea spoke in Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. In the world, we must be weaned in order to grow. In the Word, Christ Jesus, we are in womb and abide in the pregnant love and life of God in Christ. And the best is yet to come. Everything will be okay. All manner of things shall be well. I'm going to close with some of the most incredible words from the Apostle Paul in the 8th chapter of Romans. And I'm going to substitute in some language from the vine and the branches. From three parts of Romans chapter 8. For I consider our present pruning not worth comparing to the glory to be revealed. All creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the children of God. The whole creation has been groaning in labor pains. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have been given the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we await adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to cut us off from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise from the true vine. Thanks be to God. Amen.